Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here today. I'll stand to the side because some of my slides are probably going to fill the whole screen and then go off the top. And anyway, so you can read the Bible verses as they come up through the sermon. Well, I've done it a second time in my life. I've titled my sermon. This is only the second time. You guys have been privileged both times, and I think I actually used the same verses both times. It's been a couple of years ago. This sermon would be titled, Better Than Free. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll read the verses, and then we'll get to it. Father, we are so thankful to you. Jesus, we thank you that you have come, that you saved us, that we can have a personal relationship with you and know you intimately, that in our times of troubles, in our times of woe, you are there to comfort and take care of us. We ask that you open our hearts, lead us in ways that we might share that hope, that reassurance, that love with others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The verses for today are from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Probably some of my favorite verses of Scripture. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Linda has told me a story from Stan Thornburg. It went something like this. Stan had a water heater that he no longer needed. Now, I'm not sure how one ends up with a water heater you no longer need, but that's the story. So he, like many of us, put the water heater out on this curb, put a sign on it that said free, and just waited for it to disappear. And he waited for it to disappear. And he waited for it to disappear. After several days of this waiting, he's a Quaker, so he could do it for a long time. He finally went out and replaced the sign on the water heater. Took the sign off, and instead of putting free, 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 to emphasize that it was free, he put a sign on it for $10. And it was gone the next day. And that kind of comes to the point of today's message, that things that are free are not necessarily best as free, that there are some things that we need to make better than free. If something is free and we have to put a value on it, that others will want it. Some time ago, I guess a couple of years ago, I brought a message from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and I centered on God's gift and how to give good gifts. Today I want to focus on how we give the free gift of God away to all of us and to others. How to make it better than free. I want to approach it from the perspective of four words that start with A. I had a professor in graduate school. His name was Merrill Tenney. And he wrote a book on New Testament survey. And in that book, he outlined every book of the New Testament with the same letter when he outlined the book. Sometimes it was a little contrived. I apologize. I will be guilty of that same foible. But the four words today that I want to talk about are adaption, authenticity, appraisal, and accessibility. So please forgive me for torturing some of the definitions of these words as we go through. When Stan changed the sign on his water heater, he was adapting. He was changing his strategy to meet the situation. He was not trying to force the issue by repeating free over and over and over again. Instead, he made a change that would meet his need and make what happened, happened. This is similar to what Paul does on evangelistic missions in the first century. He summed it up in 1 Corinthians. Though I am free and belong to no one, have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. When I became a Christian in the late 70s, the tract which was being handed out at the time, and I still see them around once in a while, are the Four Spiritual Laws. I don't think it was very effective because they were not adaptive to the culture then or now. To make the free salvation of God available to others, we need to be like one of them. Not pushing them to be like us, but becoming like one of them. As Paul says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. The second A, after adaptability, is authenticity. To offer something free is enhanced when there's authenticity as part of the giver. I suspect the problem that Stan was having with his water heater was that those who saw it for free were thinking it was junk. And if I take the junk home, it's just a matter of time before I'm going to have to put the junk out on the curb with a sign free, or just a little bit of time later, I'm going to have to find a way to take it to the junkyard. But he put value on it when he put the $10 sign on it. That said, this is not a broken water heater. This is a working water heater worth something. And so then someone thought, hey, that's worth taking. I know they stole it, but he adapted. He was authentic. He made people know that this was a working water heater, that it had integrity, that it would work for them. And that we, too, when we are giving away the free grace of God, we need to do it authentically. We need to do it with integrity and experience. There's something about holding a real object, a real thing. You know, now we have Nooks that we could read any book published probably on it. And we have podcasts, and we can stream online movies. But we still have physical books that we love to hold. And we still have plays with live actors that we love to go to because there's an authenticity about that. There's an integrity, a wholeness that we can't experience anywhere else. And the same thing for us as we share the gospel of Christ with others is we need to have that integrity and that openness. We can't just be Christians on Sundays and not during the week. We need to admit our failures with humility, ask those we've offended to forgive us. A phrase once attributed to Francis of Assisi puts it, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Reaching back again to my early days as a Christian, I believe there was a button worn by some believers that only said, PBPGINFYMY. It's an acronym. It says, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. It indicates that even though we as believers are not perfect, we are moving in that direction with God's help. That in our lives, our reception of the free gift of God has made a change for the better. 2 Peter explains it this way. His power has given us everything we needed for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these things, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In living our godly lives, it's not to earn God's favor. It's to thank God for his love for us. It is to show others by our deeds and words, if necessary, that God's free gift is infinite value to us and can be to them. The third word is really tortured. I'm sorry. The English major in me just is appalled. But the theologian in me is happy I'm imitating Meryl Tenney. It's appraisal. What this is intended to indicate is that we have to interpret the free gift for others. There's a software company called Red Hat. They release server operating systems, and they release it for free. It's called Fedora. You can just go and download it, put it on your server, start using it. How they make their money is by telling you how to use it effectively and well. They're an example of the old joke that said the software is free, but the manual is $10,000. For spreading the good news of the free gift of God, we too need to offer the interpretation of the experience for those who have not had it, for those new Christians. I remember Fink, I think was his last name. He came up to me after my conversion experience to try to explain and help me get started. Suggested that I read the first book of, or the Gospel of John is the first book of the Bible that I read to understand that experience I had with God at my conversion meant for my life. And we too need to help those who have no understanding of God's grace and mercy understand that. We need to be able to help them appreciate it. Paul makes a rather audacious claim in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." In the context, Paul sees the church at Corinth facing many problems and arguments and wrong actions. And Paul's goal is to give the people a clear human example of how to live out the teachings of Jesus in his daily life. He did not mean he was perfect or that he was equal to God. He wanted the Corinthians to look at his actions as a practical guide because he was trying his best to obey. As with authenticity, how we live speaks very, very loudly to the world. My mom would frustrate me when I was in grade school, and I would argue with her, say, about perhaps bedtime. And she would say, "Do as I say, not as I do." This is just the opposite of appraisal. Jesus set the example for all Christians on how we should live. I cannot, at this time, share all the quotes out of the New Testament where we are told that we should imitate Jesus and his life and his approach to others. I will just add one more here from Jesus himself, the Gospel of John. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The last A for how to enhance the free gift of God to make it more acceptable to those who do not believe is accessibility. This is probably the hardest one for those of us who are older Christians. I'm approaching someplace around 53 years. It's a long time, and we forget some of the things. We learn church vocabulary. We learn rituals. We learn things that would seem extremely strange to someone who has never been in a church, to someone who has never heard of the gospel. To make the gift of God more accessible, we need to be more public and more creative in our outreach. I became a Christian because my sister, who was a Christian, invited me to see a famous athlete. Then I found out that athlete was speaking at the Assemblies of God Church, and I thought something's up. And then I had my conversion experience because of what that man spoke to me about. We're at Tiger Friends Church. We have our food pantry every month as an outreach. What else could we do to attract people to come, to be with us, to experience our relationship with God with us? The flip side of it is, what do we do that discourages people from seeing the work of God among us? Do we give out feelings to strangers that they are not welcomed here by any of our actions or words? Are there groups who feel like they don't do things the same way and block that we need to do things always the same way and block any changes? I have been to churches with these types of problems, and sometimes have been forced to leave churches because of them. They could not change or would not change. This is one of the problems that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians. And that's why he explains that we all have a place in the body of Christ. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the one body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Then, in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. They were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the whole body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Our message to the world is that God has given a free gift to the world, that we can be in relationship with God through the sacrifice of his son Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the world, it is not enough that this is free from God. We need to show adaption, authenticity, appraisal, and accessibility. We need to take and make the gospel message better than free to the world. As we enter into a time of open worship here, I would ask that you consider these questions. Where do I go out of my way to be with non-Christians? Where do I need to go to show the love and forgiveness of God to those who have not experienced it? What do I need to do with God's help to be more open to sharing what God has done for me? Who do I know that would benefit from knowing God's love and acceptance of them? What can we as a meeting do to invite others in? What barriers have we put in place to keep newcomers from feeling accepted?